Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get to the docket. First, the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Now, a lot of people are really upset about this case. Let's talk about the instructions and self-defense. Next, Alex Murdoch, not happy with receiving a no bond order from the judge. Well, he goes to the Supreme Court to try and get some relief. Parents charged with the death of their adopted daughter. And then listen to this, a classic domestic violence case failure. And then our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Yes, some people don't always like my opinions, but guess what? They're unbiased based upon the law and the facts, and you're coming to you with 26 years of experience. Now, a lot of people, well, they're not liking my opinion about how I think a case is going to turn out based upon the law and the facts. And boy, am I getting some heat for it. So let's talk about that. All right. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button as well, and hit that little bell so they receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. Now, if you can't watch this, you can always search for us on your favorite podcasting app, and you can listen to us anytime. All right. Now, before we get to the show, well, we got to pay the bills. So please go to crimetalkprep.com. Why? Well, because the world is crazy and you never know what is going to take place next. Never in my lifetime would I thought that I would go to the store and see empty shelves and food supplies in shortage. Never in my lifetime. It's a reality. I think I mentioned this the other day. Take a look at this picture. I go to Target to get Gatorade. Is it coming from China or something? I don't know, but whatever goes into it, there's a shortage of it. And it's not on the shelves. And listen, if you've been to the store lately, you've noticed shortages of other things. You have to be able to take care of yourself when an emergency happens. Hope you never need it, but it's there when something does happen. So go to crimetalkprep.com. You can get a 3-month emergency food kit and $100 off by using that link below. Please do it. You'll be happy you did. All right, let's get to the Kyle Rittenhouse case. All right, first I wanna talk about a couple of things. Boy, have I been getting hate comments, emails to my office. Scott, Kyle Rittenhouse is an evil person. He deserves to go to prison. He murdered people. How dare you say that you think he's going to walk? Okay, it's not just me, ladies and gentlemen. And my thinking is the people that are holding that opinion have not watched a lick of the actual trial. I encourage you to go watch the trial. Things are not always as they're actually reported. Heck, I saw a report today that a major news organization took down some stories that they had put up about Kyle Rittenhouse, basically saying that he's a murderer and he deserves to go to prison, all that kind of good stuff. Why? Because it wasn't supported as they'd written it, and they're probably going to get sued if he wins this case. So there's a lot of people out there with a political narrative, and I get it. I think this kid is a knucklehead, okay? Not 18, going to riots. I assure you, if he was my son, he wouldn't have been hanging out there, and he wouldn't be running around with an AR-15 strapped over his body. Okay, I get it. Poor judgment. People think that he was going out there looking for trouble. Well, when you watch the video, he really wasn't. And early on, I thought, man, this kid, I can't believe you're going out there doing this bad, bad, bad. But as the case went on and the more information came out, guess what? It's not exactly the way it was being reported in, for lack of a better term, the news. And why did we start this channel? We started this channel because we thought the news fails miserably when it comes to presenting information regarding criminal cases, right? That's why we started this. I mean, I started this channel because of the Chris Watts case, and these reporters were getting it wrong. And we wanted to be able to explain to people what is really happening and the law. And in the Kyle Rittenhouse case, like lots of cases, we've been able to put it up so you can watch it. Don't just trust me. I mean, I try to get it right, but the reality of it is you need to form your own opinion. But you gotta watch the actual evidence and not just take something that supports your political narrative and say, that is it. So just because Kyle Rittenhouse is a knucklehead, yes, find him guilty of being a knucklehead, but that doesn't mean that he's guilty of murder. And why? Well, the law. So let's take a look at the law. We printed out the jury instructions. Obviously, the judge is working on them now. The case is recessed until next Monday when closing arguments will be given, and the judge is going to read the instructions. But let's talk about some of the key elements in the instructions for self-defense, okay? And I'm not making this up. This isn't my opinion. This is the law that's going to the jury. Self-defense is an issue in this case. In deciding whether the defendant's conduct was criminally reckless conduct, which showed an utter disregard for human life, was criminally reckless conduct, and was criminally negligent, put in whichever element for the charge, but you get the drift, said you should also consider whether the defendant acted lawfully in self-defense. The law of self-defense allows the defendant to threaten or intentionally use force against another only if the defendant believed that there was an actual imminent unlawful interference with the defendant's person and the defendant believed that the amount of force the defendant used or threatened to use was necessary to prevent or terminate the interference and the defendant's belief was reasonable. Now remember, that's ultimately up to the jury. That's what they have to decide based upon the evidence. Then the instruction continues. The defendant may intentionally use force which is intended or likely to cause death or great bodily harm only if the defendant reasonably believes that the force used was necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm on himself. Well, guess what? Kyle Rittenhouse testified that he used what he believed to be reasonable force, force no greater than reasonably necessary to stop these threats against him. That's ultimately up to the jury as to whether they believe him. But he's going to get the instruction as to each and every crime that's charged where self-defense is applicable. The jury instruction continues. A belief may be reasonable even though mistaken. In determining whether the defendant's beliefs were reasonable, the standard is what a person of ordinary intelligence and prudence would have believed if in the defendant's position under the circumstances that existed at the time of the alleged offense. The reasonableness of defendant's beliefs must be determined from the standpoint of the defendant at the time the defendant's acts and not from the viewpoint of the jury now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's huge. Not armchair quarterbacking saying, well, you know, I think I would have done it differently. Boy, I wish he had called the police. No, you as a juror has to look at it at the time and circumstances and put yourself in the shoes of the defendant. Now understand, I'm reading straight from the jury instructions that are going to be presented in this case. You should consider the evidence relating to self-defense in deciding whether the defendant's conduct created an unreasonable risk to another. If the defendant was acting lawfully in self-defense, his conduct did not create an unreasonable risk to another. The burden is on the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant did not act lawfully in self-defense. And you must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt from all of the evidence in this case that the risk was unreasonable. It goes on. You should consider the evidence relating to self-defense in deciding whether the defendant's conduct showed utter disregard for human life. The burden is on the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant did not act lawfully in self-defense, and you must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt from all the evidence in the case that the circumstances of the defendant's conduct showed utter disregard for human life. Now, in this particular instruction, there's lots of little footnotes, But the reality of it is, listen, if you're charged with murder or you're charged with an assault and you say, you know what, it's an affirmative defense. You're saying, I did it, but I was legally justified in doing it. And I hope the jury believes me that I was legally justified in doing it. You're going to get the self-defense instruction. You have to present a scintilla of evidence. There's more than enough evidence, which is testimony, that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. Whether you like it or not, that's the law, ladies and gentlemen. And then the burden is on the prosecution. Not only does the prosecution have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Kyle Rittenhouse acted unlawfully, but now they have to disprove beyond a reasonable doubt that his self-defense was in fact unreasonable. I think that's going to be very difficult for the prosecution, okay? And like I said, if you think Kyle Rittenhouse is a knucklehead, shouldn't have been there at 17 with a gun, I am with you. I have said that from day one. I wouldn't want my kid out there doing that. What are you doing, right? You shouldn't have been there. But even if you think he was out there looking for trouble, okay? When you see the videos walking through, he's not looking for trouble. He's not yelling at people. In fact, he's saying, friendly, friendly. And that's the video. But if you haven't watched the videos, don't sit here and tell me, Scott, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, okay? Look at the videos. He's not out there looking for trouble in the sense of, hey, I want to point my gun at you. The other people are the ones that attacked him, ladies and gentlemen. The guy that survived, Gross Cruz, admitted on cross-examination that he was pointing his handgun at Kyle Rittenhouse's head when he was on the ground. That's when he got shot in the arm. You have to take it from the law in Wisconsin that the law is from the defendant's perspective at the time, given all the circumstances at the time. Hopefully that clears that up. So all the people that were sending me messages saying, Scott, I am unsubscribing because you're wrong. Kyle Rittenhouse is a bad, bad kid and he deserves to go to jail. Okay, and a jury may actually conclude that. There's no guarantee that Kyle Rittenhouse is going to walk. But before you start telling me that I'm an idiot and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go watch the trial and then read the freaking law before you tell me that you think that somebody's just a bad person, they deserve to go to prison. That is what is called a political witch hunt, ladies and gentlemen. And second of all, it is so, so intellectually dishonest. Okay? Bottom line, this channel was started for people who want to talk about facts and the law. You want to talk about politics, you can find plenty of channels that will discuss that. You want to talk about why somebody's guilty just because of their political affiliation, guess what? There's plenty of channels that will talk about that. You want to have an intellectual conversation about the facts and the law, then this is the place you need to be. If that's not what you're looking for, that's okay. I guess you can unsubscribe. You don't have to watch. This is America. You can listen or watch. It's completely up to you. At least if you're going to tell me I'm stupid, take a look at the evidence, take a look at the law before you do it. So the other thing that I think is rather interesting regarding the Rittenhouse defense is that the team that they have assembled, that's right, the defense team has retained the services of the O.J. Simpson's former jury consultant, Jo Ellen Demetrius. Now, she was photographed during a break in the court proceedings speaking to Rittenhouse's mother and sister. She was also photographed several times speaking to lead defense attorney Mark Richards during the jury selection process. Now, yesterday, Demetrius was seen comforting Rittenhouse's mother when Kyle Rittenhouse took the witness stand in his own defense. So, what are Demetrius's credentials? Well, according to her website, she has consulted on over 1,000 trials and picked over 600 juries. Now, among the defendants on the cases which she's worked has been the Night Stalker case, the Richard Ramirez case, O.J. Simpson, Scott Peterson, Kobe Bryant, and obviously a lot of others. She was also a body language expert for Dancing with the Stars. Who knew? And you know how I feel about body language. But she's also evaluated over 10,000 jurors, witnesses, lawyers, and even judges during trial, and at least many more in pretrial focus groups and mock trials. Now, her ability to understand and predict the behaviors of jurors, witnesses, lawyers, and judges has led her to be nicknamed the Seer by the American Lawyer magazine. Now, in the 2016 Inside Edition profile, Demetrius recalled that she helped select a so-called perfect juror for the O.J. Simpson criminal prosecution, a female African-American with a high school education or less. The result, the television show added, was a jury was more inclined to be sympathetic to Simpson. 8 black women and 1 black man, 1 Hispanic man and 2 white women. That's right. Jury consultants, sometimes called litigation consultants, are called upon to help litigants select panels for jurors and hear cases. Now, oftentimes jury consultants have law or psychology degrees, and while they may be helpful, they add to the cost of litigation. They're expensive, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. And not all the defendants can afford their fees. They tend to be highly sought after in high-dollar corporate civil actions. And like the most of the mass tort cases, where we're talking tens of billions of dollars, jury selection is huge, and most of the people are lawyers and PhDs, okay? And they're not so much in the criminal cases, but they can be hired if the defendant has the resources. And like I said, not all people are entitled to that, and you're not entitled to a jury consultant under the Sixth Amendment, which means if you're indigent, you're not going to be able to get a jury consultant. Most judges think, why would you need a jury consultant? That's what lawyers do, is pick juries. I've only used a jury consultant on a couple of cases over the years. Frankly, I didn't find them that particularly helpful, but they charge a lot of money. And frankly, I think I know my case by the time it gets to a trial that I don't need the jury consultant. I have a pretty good idea of the juror that I am looking for. But hey, if you have the money, go for it. It can't hurt. More heads are always better than just one. All right, next on the docket, we brought you the story the other day that Alex Murdoch was denied bond. So what's the natural thing to do? That's right, appeal. Now, some people are calling this move desperate, but Alex Murdoch's attorneys have filed a habeas corpus appeal with the South Carolina Supreme Court in an attempt to get the disgraced attorney out on bond. As you may recall, Murdoch was denied bond by the circuit judge, Judge Clifton Newman, for the second time in over a week. The attorneys filed a petition to the Supreme Court to overrule Judge Newman's decision Tuesday to keep Murdoch behind bars, as the court found that he was a danger to himself and to society. Now, following the initial denial of bond, the court received a psychiatric evaluation of Alec Murdoch that was dated October 22nd, 2021. And Newman wrote in an order dated November 9th of 2021, after considering the arguments of counsel, the evaluation submitted, pending charges and other investigations, and the apparent character and mental condition of the defendant, the court finds the defendant is a danger to both himself and the community. Now, the petition with the Supreme Court said that Murdoch's psychiatric evaluation concluded that Murdoch was not a danger to the community, but rather was a recovering opioid addict who needed to go back to rehab. Well, jail is kind of like the ultimate rehab. Now, when Newman previously denied bond for Alec Murdoch on October 19th, he never guaranteed that he would release him pending the results of the evaluation. The court just said he would consider it. Well, Murdoch's attorneys are arguing that because their client was charged with nonviolent crimes, he's entitled to a bond based upon the state's constitution. However, it's clear that Newman is looking at more than just the current charges against Alex Murdoch to make his decision. There are currently, get this, currently 7 ongoing criminal investigations related to the Murdoch family, and Newman has been handpicked by the South Carolina chief judge to oversee all of those cases. So let's talk about bond really quick, ladies and gentlemen. Every criminal defendant has a right to a reasonable bond, okay? To not receive a bond would be a violation of one's constitutional rights, right to bail, right? Funny how people always remember those constitutional amendments when they're the ones that get in trouble. However, there are exceptions. Like all things in the law, there's an exception. Obviously, on first-degree murder cases, you can be held with no bond. In federal court, drug cases, you can be held with no bond. All right? So things like that happen all the time. On theft cases, it's very unusual. However, what are the rules as it relates to bond? Yes, the court must consider the individual's character, their past criminal history, failures to appear, are they a danger to themselves, and are they a danger to the community? Usually ties to the community, and what's the risk of not appearing are the biggest factor. But here, the court made a record saying that Alex Murdoch is a danger to himself, as evidenced by the fact that he tried to have somebody maybe shoot him. The fact that he's a flight risk, given the fact that he has literally lost everything and is going to lose everything and has more charges more than likely coming down the proverbial pike. Guess what? I think the court's decision to hold Alex Murdoch no bond can probably hold up. The Supreme Court doesn't have to necessarily review that petition. They obviously they'll review it, but they don't have to set it for a hearing. So we'll see. Why does Alex Murdoch want to get out of custody so much? Well, there's never a good time to go to jail, right? But his attorneys need to start having that talk with him that you're kind of a danger to yourself, and mitigation purposes, you being inside means you can't get in any more trouble. So let's get used to the new reality that's coming about and just sit tight and let's work on minimizing the time that you're going to spend in prison. We'll see if the Supreme Court rules on this motion anytime soon. If they do, we'll bring it to you. Next on the docket, a terrible, terrible case. And it comes from Hawaii. Lahua Kalua and her husband, Isaac Sony Kalua, were arrested yesterday and charged with murdering, get this, their six-year-old adopted daughter. And she disappeared about a month ago. A month before she was reported, the family reported her missing, claiming she wandered off in the middle of the night. Now, the Kaluas have been charged with killing their daughter, Isabel Ariel Kalua, who then, like I said, was reported missing in September or on September 13th. The Honolulu Police Department say the couple killed her earlier in the month, sometime in mid-August, then pretended that she vanished. Ariel was adopted by the couple just 2 years ago out of foster care. And now in the 2 years since she has lived with the couple, she has suffered two serious injuries. But in both cases, the Department of Child Services ruled that no foul play had taken place. Now her body has not been found, but police and the FBI are searching the family's home and the Pearl Harbor shipyard where the father works. Now the Kaluas told police on September 13th that she had left their home in the middle of the night and that she often slept outside. The couple have other daughters who are now in custody of the authorities of the Child Protective Services. Now, it's unclear if those children are also adopted or if they're the couple's biological children. It's also unclear how Ariel died or what kind of evidence police have against the pair, but detectives say they are confident the evidence points to them and to no one else. Now, the adoptive parents are being held in custody without bond, and Child Welfare Services has not commented yet on their arrests. Once again, a possible failure by the Child Protective Services. We'll have to see how things turn out. But normally, you have inexperienced social workers who don't want to separate the family. The family comes together and says, oh, those bruises, don't worry about them. They were just playing at the playground. You know how kids are. And well, here we are once again. Now, before we get to the dumb criminal, a final story. And for anyone who's ever been involved in a domestic violence case, this is everyone's worst fear, okay? A Washington State woman by the name of Monica Murray, she's 45, and she was denied a restraining order against her estranged husband, and then guess what? She was then allegedly murdered by him. Michael Ryan Murray, 45, was charged with first-degree murder with a domestic violence factual basis Wednesday in connection with the killing of Monica, which took place Sunday morning. Now, Monica Murray filed for a restraining order against her husband in July of 2020, alleging that he had verbally abused, choked, threatened, and pushed her numerous times. Monica wrote in a petition for order for protection, "I am in fear for my life and I am in imminent danger of my husband due to threats and the incidents that have led me to flee from our home." Her husband, she alleged, had threatened suicide during arguments. One time he even grabbed a large knife and sat outside of their bedroom threatening to kill himself. There have been times, according to the affidavit, where they've argued and he's put the knife by their bed. Now, the restraining order was reissued again on a temporary basis in July of 2020, but a permanent restraining order was denied the following month. Now, the Vancouver Police Department were called to Monica Murray's home on November 5th on an assault with a weapon call. At the scene, officers alleged that Michael Murray had a knife in his hand and was walking to the south side of the home. Officers said Michael had a red substance on his hands, which they believe to be blood. And they say red substance because you can't really testify that it's blood until it's actually been tested as blood. I know. So it's an unidentified red substance. So Monica was found inside and taken to a nearby hospital where she ultimately died. Now, at the time, Michael told an officer that he stabbed someone who he identified as Star Beast. Michael also told the officers that he killed Star Beast to fulfill a prophecy. In an interview shortly afterwards, Michael said he and his wife were in the process of getting a divorce, admitted that he drove over here today armed with a knife. And Michael said he contacted his wife and spoke to her with a Bible in his hand. Now, Michael said he later killed his wife in cold blood, stating he stabbed her multiple times in the area of her neck. Now, Michael's arraignment is scheduled for November 19th. He's going to be held without bond, ladies and gentlemen, and there'll probably be a psychological evaluation. Little lesson here, all right? Anybody can go get a protection order, and 99% of the time, the judges are going to grant it, particularly if there's an allegation of domestic violence, and they should, because guess what? It's temporary, and you're going to have a hearing usually within 7 to 14 days of that protection order being served, and therefore you can have a hearing to determine whether it's going to be denied or whether it's going to be made permanent. Now, there's no information as to why it was denied, but the reality of it is this is everyone's worst nightmare. Needless to say, the victim, this is not what she wanted. The police, the judges are going to look back and say, boy, did we screw up here in some way, which is every judge's worst nightmare. Did I make a decision and somebody else got hurt? And yes, I have represented people who have been accused of doing things where protection order was sought and it turned out not to be true. But that's what the hearing is for. Now, you're going to have other people say that protection order wasn't worth the paper that it was written on, and it wouldn't have mattered if she had one protection order or 50 protection orders. Well, let's face it, there is some truth to that. Just like in this particular case, Michael was going over there to kill his wife. He did it. It wouldn't have mattered whether there was one or 50. He was still going to do it. What do I always say, ladies and gentlemen? You have to be able to take care of yourself. When the police are called, when they get there, it's usually too late. Take care of yourself. All right. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Crime Talks, dumb criminal of the day. A Florida man has been arrested after a live grenade was found in his vehicle during a traffic stop. Lewis Branson, 65, was pulled over by police for having expired tags and an expired license. Deputies say they found the device appearing to be a grenade in the vehicle. Branson stated he had cleaned out a veteran's home and found the grenade and decided to keep it. He was reportedly unaware of whether it was active or not. After conducting an investigation, including an x-ray of the device, it was determined that this was in fact a real grenade, and the grenade was donated to a nearby county-owned facility. Thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed the show. I got a little fired up, but hey, if you're going to attack me, you better come prepared. Bottom line, have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.